Welcome to Working with Purpose. Our show is dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. My name is David Stark, and my co-host Justin Royer is with us. And Justin, why don't you, we're in the People series now, which is our favorite series because we just get to talk to people about what they're doing and how faith is intersecting with their lives. And why don't you introduce our guest today, please?
Sounds great. Well, like we've always said, Dave, this series is the most favorite not only for us but also for our audience because we talk to people that are way more interesting than us.
Yes, exactly right.
People don't have to listen to us as much.
Yes.
But I'm really excited to introduce today's guest, Clarence Bethea, who's the CEO of UPSI, and we'll learn more about UPSI here in a second. I'm going to leave it as a cliffhanger for the moment.
But yes.
Clarence and I have known each other for several years now, ever since basically you started UPSI, Clarence. But first and foremost, welcome to Working with Purpose. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. Super honored to be here today.
Great to be here, Clarence.
So, Clarence, we're going to throw you some softball questions, even though you're a big basketball player. but talk to us a little bit about who Clarence is and what's your life story?
We don't have that
many
minutes on the show. Originally from Atlanta, Georgia, raised there my whole life. Played high school basketball my whole life, but was also a knucklehead kid at the same time. I saved my life on the wrong side of the tracks. So I grew up in Decatur, which is a suburb of Atlanta. Grew up in a one-parent household. It was four of us kids. I always say the first 25 years of my life was a learning experience for me. Played basketball. Went to junior college in Kansas. Ended up coming to Minnesota and playing at a D2 up north, Bemidji State University. Shout out to them. Got married and decided to stay. So now my joke is I just do what my wife tells me to do.
That's like a smart husband. Well, yeah, I was gonna say you're a smart man.
Yes, you are.
So you came to Bemidji to play ball. What position did you play?
I was a point guard.
Yeah. The path to UPSI is one of the things I want to get to. I want people to I'd like to remind us this a little bit, Clarence. So we're not going to let people know what UPSI is yet.
Okay.
So don't tell them yet. But
yeah, hold on.
Tell them the path to which you got here professionally. Like the places you've gone, I think, are interesting. The things that you've done.
Yeah.
In particular, second chance staffing is one thing that I'd love our audience to learn a little bit more about and your adventure there. But tell us a little bit about your professional progression, and then let's ease our way into what you're doing today.
Yeah, so I think I'm a man that's done many things. So I went from driving a boom truck that puts sheetrock on the second floor to running that company in a matter of a year. And then I moved from that to working at a basketball facility here locally, where I got to work with thousands and thousands of kids and their parents to get them to the next level as basketball players. And then that kind of led me into, what I think is my passion, which is people. And, I come from a rough background. I've made mistakes in my life. So the next progression for me was about, how do I help other people who's been in tough situations get employment with, good employers around the country? And so that was my passion. I felt like I've been so blessed with the people that I've met and the rooms I've been able to be in that I was like, let me try to start something that would help other people who may not have these chances. So that led us to Second Chance. And Second Chance was all about helping ex-offenders get jobs in the community with employers that they would normally not get an opportunity with. Did that for 2 years. It failed miserably, but it was a great learning opportunity for me as my first foray into my own business. And that's kind of what led me to UPSI.
Nice. Well, that sounds awesome. So without further ado, Clarence, let's talk about UPSI. What the heck is UPSI?
So we say that UPSI is changing the way that consumers buy extended warranties. So our story is that, we've all been at that register at a big box store preparing to check out, and somebody hassles us to buy a plan. But normally there's three problems that happen. One, you could pay as high as 900% more than that plan should cost.
So you sure can.
To give an example, you're buying a new TV and they want to charge you $200 for a 2-year plan, and the warranty really costs $10 from an insurance company.
Wow.
So most consumers don't know that. Second is transparency. So, if you've been to the register, you never get to ask, what's covered, or what do I do if I need to make a claim? you really don't get to ask any questions. Mm-hmm. It's normally just, do you want to buy yes or no and get out? Mm-hmm. And then the third problem is service. And we've all bought a warranty, taken it home, put it in a shoebox or a drawer, and forgot about it. And then 2.5 years later, my TV breaks. I don't know what that receipt is. Like, so there's no value in it to me at that point. So what we're doing is solving all of those problems for consumers. So we charge you 50 to 90% less than the big box stores would charge you. We offer complete transparency before you buy the plan. So we tell you exactly what's covered. And we even go to the length of telling you who that insurance company is at backing it. And then we store all of your warranties, all of your receipts, everything in one place. So when you need to make a claim, you just press one button. We get you out to our call center and get you taken care of quickly.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what was the inspiration behind Upsy? Like, what was it, or was there a defining moment where you're like, hey, this thing needs to exist and I want to make it?
Yeah, so I think like any other, you know, yeah, founder, like, you're looking for problems, right, that affect your life personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I know me being a kid that grew up like with less resources, you know, I would always watch my mom and them buy a warranty, right? It's just like, you have to buy it because we can't afford to replace it.
Right.
And I think as an adult, you know, I became a warranty buyer myself. My background is actually retail. So one of my mentors was actually the CEO of Best Buy for years.
Uh-huh.
So you know, I got a chance to see behind the scenes. And as I started talking to people in the industry on a different side of it, people were just like, we don't care about the consumer. And we don't, like, we know we're charging them 900% more. Who cares?
Right.
We know we offer no transparency. Who cares? And so I think as an entrepreneur, like, you see a problem, you're like, whoa, this is a big problem that affects consumers.
You bet.
Nobody's really taking this angle on it. Nobody's really trying to serve the consumer this way. So that was kind of my aha moment that, hey, let's go serve consumers and see if we can create a business out of that.
Yeah. And we've all had this experience. I just, you know, I walk up to the registers in many cases and I go, well, you know, I don't want to pay this big number again.
Right.
So I just say, I feel medical clinic thing. I got to have it because I don't want,
right.
I don't want to get the big disease again. Right. And so you buy it, but I never heard that these kind of things. I mean, I think it's a great business.
Thank you.
At least need or niche. So
one of the things, Clarence, I know that you've recently done here in this community, and we were talking about this kind of before the show and how this community is kind of grown from the standpoint of supporting startups and that stuff. But you were part of TechStars,
mm-hmm.
The class of 17, right?
Yep.
So TechStars 17, which was hosted by Target here in town. What was that like? Can you give people a taste of what TechStars is all about? You're even repping the shirt today.
So. Yeah. TechStars is an unbelievable program because I think what it does is it allows, you know, just your everyday founder who may not know, who may not, you know, have grown up in the tech world to learn everything about the tech world.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number one accelerator in the world. I think today they have 44 programs all over the globe in different verticals. And, you know, for me, it was an unbelievable experience. You know, we went in, we were, you know, about a year and a half into the game with Upsy. And like, they just reshaped me as a founder, and they reshaped our business. So, you know, we went from a business where, you know, no venture capital would, you know, partner would talk to us to we had a line of them when we came out of the program.
Mm.
So it changed the trajectory of Upsy. And as me personally also, I think it shined a different light on me too.
Yeah. They had a hashtag that I thought was pretty awesome. And I think you do too. That's around give first.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I think the premise is that like you have to open yourself up without wanting anything back, and you have to give all of yourself to whatever you're mm-hmm. doing. And you know, we have this thing called Mentor Madness where 150 mentors come in over 3 weeks and it's speed dating. So you're sitting mm-hmm. down for 20 minutes with each, and you're trying to figure out who, you know, who do I want to lead, you know, like help me move my business forward. Those guys are not getting paid. Most of the time they're taking off work. And it's just, you know, I'm here to help you. Mm-hmm. I don't want anything. I don't want shares in your company. I don't want you to pay me. I don't want anything. I just want to help you. And I think when you're around that, it rubs off on you and you start to turn around and start wanting to give to other people. And I think what it's starting to do is create a ripple effect in our community.
We've done a big series on a book called Give and Take, and his whole point in an interconnected world, which is kind of our theme here, is that, you know, givers, when you give first without obligation, then, you know, the people that are givers will give back. The people that they call them negotiators or something like that, right? Well, they feel like they have to give now. You know, they only give when somebody else gives. And then the takers aren't going to ever do it anyway. So, so it's like, you know, in a connected world, you can get voted off the island if you're just a taker. It's like people get it, you know, because they're, and they talk to each other about it. So it's not only the right thing to do, but it's also something that's so important in an interconnected world. Because,
well, especially because, I mean, it's a, you know, reputation is such an important currency.
Right.
You know, and especially now in an interconnected world. And I think that's where, and that's why I was attracted to the Give First hashtag. I'm like, that, as long as there's meaning behind that, I'm like, I dig that because, you know, I think business in general is a service. You know, we kind of talked about that on the show too, that done right, business is all about serving other people. And that Give First tag to me just kind of embodied that. So I thought that's pretty cool.
Look, not only at your own interests, but the interests of others. And I mean, there's the whole rat of Philippians, which is, it's just critical, I think, now in our day and age.
Right.
Because it's so relational out there.
Right.
Everywhere, right? So, and they can take you out in 5 minutes if they want to on the net, so.
Yeah, no, that's all great.
Yeah.
So, Clarence, the first half of the show has been flying by already, like it always does. I want to talk more about UPSI when we come back, as well as just being an entrepreneur here in the Twin Cities area. Sound good to you?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. All right, everyone, we're going to take a quick one-minute break. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer and today's guest, Clarence Bethea. We'll be right back. Yep, I'll bring us back in.
How do you manage a business in a world of increased connectivity and interdependence? Each week on Working with Purpose, David Stark and Justin Royer address the changing world of work from a fresh perspective, drawing lessons from ecosystems, the human body, and how organizations and organisms work together. And they'd love to have you join the conversation. You can dialogue with David and Justin on these important discussions, sign up to receive blog posts, get updates on upcoming events, and more through their website, DavidStarkCollective.com, or find them on Twitter at Stark Collective. David and Justin are also available to speak on a variety of topics related to working with purpose and will help you and your business go beyond discussing these concepts to putting them into action. Find out more by going to DavidStarkCollective.com and open either the speaking or consulting pages of the platform. And now let's get back to part two of Working with Purpose.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer and today's guest, Clarence Bethea from UPSI. Just a quick reminder that you can join the conversation anytime at davidstarkcollective.com. You can also find us on Twitter at Stark Collective, and you can give us a 5-star review on iTunes anytime you want with our podcast. Leave anything less than that to yourselves, please. Clarence, hey, welcome back. Thanks again for hopping on the show. We started talking about UPSI, and we started talking about a little bit about the tech community here in Minneapolis, and specifically the startup. I'd like to just kind of step back broadly now and ask you some questions around what it's like to be in the community. Like, you're a tech startup in Minneapolis.
Correct.
And those phrases don't normally go together historically, right?
Right.
A tech startup in Minneapolis doesn't, you know, you're not making cereal.
Right.
And you're not a retailer, right. So being in Minneapolis is odd that you're something else. So why not be UPSI in Boston or UPSI in Silicon Valley? How come here?
I think there's a couple of different reasons why here. One, our real estate is not out of control here like in those places.
That's true.
So you can actually afford a house here.
Right. Yeah.
As I said earlier, I think our community is growing, right? Like in the last 5 years, this community is exploding. And so it's actually pretty cool to have a startup here because there's not many of us. So, you know, you're kind of rock star status when you have a startup here. It adds some success. But I think the cost of living, I think when you look at the Give First in our community, we got a lot of money that is coming here into town. You know, you have a lot of VC shops that are setting up shop here, putting a satellite office here, just to be engaged with the startups here. So I think our community, you know, in the next 10 to 15 years, you know, we're going to see exits, and then we're going to see that turnaround, and those people are going to invest back in the community, help it grow. I think, you know, in the next 10, 15 years, this community is going to be, you know, if not the best, one of the best in the country.
Yeah. In fact, I was surprised by this. It was last week I was looking up about startups, and the Twin City area is either second or third right now. So it's all of a sudden on the scene where it was not on the scene like it is. So that just verifies what you're saying big time.
And I think those of us that have kind of been in the startup scene for a while here kind of have seen this coming, but also recognize that it hasn't always been this way.
Right.
Like, it's been hard to get these things off the ground and to get good ideas capitalized. And one of the things I think that people don't realize is, you know, Silicon Valley has such a head start because it's a terrarium. Like, you have these large... these startups that that are funded and then exit, and so a lot of people win in terms of capital, and that capital, those become angel investors in the area, or, you know, small VCs. It just becomes a terrarium. We haven't had that here in Minneapolis, but we're starting to – it's taken time, but now we're getting it.
Yes.
And it's kind of fun to see. What else do you think is interesting or awesome or challenging about the environment for being a startup in this town, Clarence?
Well, I think the perception, you know, we're talking about it right now, right? Like, like, it's weird to be a startup in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I think one of the challenges that you know, I'll go to New York or Boston or Silicon Valley, and I'll say, hey, you know, we're a tech startup in Minneapolis. And they're like, what's Minneapolis? And you guys got a startup, right? And so, like, if you're not working for, you know, Best Buy, Target, one of the big guys, you know, people don't think anything exists outside of that here.
Right.
So I think that's the challenge of changing the perception. And we're not just like a honky-tonk town that nobody, you know, nobody knows anything here. There's some really smart people here.
It's not just flyover country people.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And it's not just big box retail.
Right.
There's a bunch of companies here doing a lot of cool stuff. And so I think that's a challenge for our community.
Yeah. So talking about challenges too, so being a person of color and being a tech startup CEO in Minneapolis, what's that like?
It's challenging.
Yeah.
But I also think there's an opportunity. You know, I'm a really big advocate about, you know, people of color and diversity. And so, you know, I think what's happened for me over the last year is I've gotten a platform here locally to talk about that. And, you know, and that's because so many of the great advocates that I have, you know, behind me that necessarily don't look like me, but say, hey, Clarence is awesome. Clarence is smart. Clarence is all these things. So it's given me a platform where, you know, I can really go out there and talk about how, you know, how tough it is to be a black founder here in our community. And people embrace that. So, you know, it's tough, but, you know, you don't have time to whine. You know, I got a team full of eight people that really don't want to hear that. They want to execute. And so that's what I try to focus on.
Yeah. What's the most fun thing for you on the day-to-day these days?
You know, I think there's two things. First, interacting with our customers is, like, number one for me. And so hearing customers be so excited about your problem, you know, people said when I first wanted to start this, was like, warranties are not sexy. I'm like, no, they're not, but we're going to make them. Right? And so because they're not, we think there's an opportunity. So when customers call us and say, God, like, I had a really great experience yesterday. I called in at 1 o'clock. I had my phone fixed by 3 o'clock. Like, that is just unheard of in our industry. And so when customers talk about them saving money with us and them not having to decide between us and groceries, right? And like buying a warranty at a big box store and paying for groceries the next week.
Yeah.
Like, that's really important to us. So,
absolutely.
I think that's first and foremost is our customer and then our team. Like, they're the most important equation when it comes to the success of Upsy. So, you know, interacting with them every day and, you know, not just on the business level, but on a personal level and hearing their lives and watching them do great things. Like, you know, one of our employees a few weeks ago got a new car and, like, was so excited.
Yes.
And I was, like, so excited for them. 'Cause I'm like, the work that we do here every day for our customers allows that person to make those strides in life. And it's just, it's really rewarding to watch your team win.
Yeah. That's a leader's line right there. I mean, I get that totally.
So speaking of which, you know, you mentioned employees and you mentioned your customers. You know, this show, one of our big themes is interconnection, right, Dave? We can't swing a dead cat without hitting
That's right.
One of us talking about interconnection. And not that you should be in the business of swinging dead cats, but if you are.
Is it profitable?
It's not. It's
no, but you can make it profitable.
It's pretty futile, actually. It's pretty futile. So when it comes to interconnection, though, like what role do you think interconnection plays in your day-to-day life with UPSI, like how you connect with others in the community? You know, tell us about your point of view there.
Yeah, so I think it's really important to be, give first. You know, we talked about that a little bit earlier. And it's really important to me to be the guy that people can depend on and that people can feel like when I need something, I can go to Clarence. He's never going to ask me for anything back. He would just help, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, especially in Minnesota, that's like as big as this place is really small and really connected. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important for me to have a reputation of a giver and a guy that like you can bet your chips on that. You know, if I call him, he's going to pick up. You know, we have a good friend, Rick Norvold, and I remember I called him at 11:30 at night. I know he was in bed. Mm-hmm. It was like a Wednesday night or something. And I was going through something with the business. And I called him at 11:30, and he picked up the phone. And I could hear he was asleep. And you can tell he crawled out of bed and, you know, went downstairs. Mm-hmm. And it's like those are the people that I take cues from. Those are the people that, you know, I aspire to be like because, mm-hmm. you know, he didn't have to do that. And you know, I'm nothing, you know, to him, you know, as I can't really help him go any further in his career. But those are the people that I'm taking cues from and I'm trying to be like.
Yeah. And I see this all over the place in terms of this community being willing to give back, right? And, I mean, on one level, we're the top volunteer state in the nation. Mm-hmm. And that's I really think it's because of all of the great understory that both the Lutherans, Catholics, and the others have done in these towns is that rubs off on a very deep level here.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that too, Clarence. So, I mean, obviously the show is called Working with Purpose and it is a kind of a faith and business type of show. What role does faith and purpose play out with you personally, professionally? How does that rub off in your life?
Yeah. I mean, so it shows up every day, right? I'm married to, a devout Christian. Like she is, you know, she's a praying woman at 4:30 every morning, yeah. Which I don't understand why she wakes up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, God's going to be there at 6, but
I get that.
Amen to that.
But you know, like I know that I'm here because of the man upstairs. So been some lucky breaks. Mm-hmm. And I think those lucky, you know, God makes those lucky breaks mm-hmm. happen for you, when you're doing the right thing. So, I tell people all the time that you only can be good at about three things, right? You're going to have three things in your life that like you put your sword into and like, you're going to say, these are the things. And for me, that is God first, you know, my family second mm-hmm. and my business third. Then everything else just kind of has to find its way, mm-hmm. you know, into my life. Mm-hmm. So, as long as those three things and faith will always be the cornerstone mm-hmm. of it. As long as those three things are intact, mm-hmm. you know, I have a chance to live a decent life.
Great value system, Clarence. I mean, it's just critical that kind of order happen. Yeah. And it's really important that we're public about that.
Right.
So other people realize that's what's going on really at the core for yeah. this man.
And I think people think that you have to be like there's just way to have faith. Right? Like right. I always tell people my relationship with God is my relationship and it looks different than your relationship. So,
yes.
I tell people you can be authentic. You can be yourself. You can have your vices. Like all these things could be you and you can still have a really strong relationship with Christ.
Absolutely.
And I make sure that I tell people like I can be who I am and still love God.
That's what we love about on this show is we get so many people's perspectives on how God is involved in their life. And it helps broaden, in my opinion, what lots of people are relating to God in a variety of ways.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's having some of those same value impacts right. on many different people. It's great. So Clarence, tell us if people would like to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
So I'm really active on Twitter.
Okay.
So if you, it's just Clarence_Bethea, Bethea. You can hit me up on LinkedIn and find me there. Same name. That's about it. If you want to learn more about UPSI, You can just go to upsie.com, UPSIE.com. And you can reach out to us there.
That's great, Clint. So good to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you've been listening to Working with Purpose this morning. And I'm just excited that there's an alternative in the warranty world. I hope you are. This is a great thing. It's fabulous to have Clarence on here. You can listen to all of these podcasts, again, at the davidstarkcollective.com. You can also get us on Twitter, at Stark Collective, and then at Working with Purpose on iTunes. They're all there. Next week, we're going to have another guest with us that's going to be talking about another aspect of faith and business. We're just glad that you've tuned in today, and we hope you have a great week.